this evening, which comes from James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Thank you, Rob, and good evening, everyone. Great to see you all. Friends, I think it's safe to say that all of us have plans for the future. We have ideas and intentions in our head for the things that we want to do, whether that's tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or even further down the track than that. Maybe you're one of those people who writes all those things down. You know exactly what you want to achieve and what you want to experience. You have detailed to-do lists. You have an extensive bucket list. When we're young, we make plans about the trade we want to go into, or the uni course that we want to study, the job we want to get. We make plans about relationships, having a family, where we want to live, the things we want to buy, plans for hobbies and sports and the places we'd like to see. As we get older, things change, don't they? Eventually, we start thinking about things like preparing for retirement, finishing work, moving into a smaller home, plans about how we're going to spend our time, the things we'll be involved in, the holidays we might like to take. Our Christian faith has a significant impact on these things. As Christians, we make plans about how we can serve the Lord. Which ministry should I be involved in? Should I start a growth group? Should I become a missionary? How am I going to serve the Lord? Or at least we should be thinking about these things. As Christians together, we also make plans for the church as a whole. What new things should we be doing here at Riverbank? What should we change? What are we aiming at for the future? Whoever we are, we all have plans. They may be big, they may be small. They may be short-term, they may be long-term. They may be personal, or they may involve our family, our business, our congregation. We all do it. Remember, even if we plan to do nothing, that's still a plan. But the passage that we're looking at here tonight in James chapter 4 reminds us that this is not a neutral activity. It reminds us that there are actually two very different ways in which we can make our plans, a wrong way and a right way. And so this is a passage that we would do well to take notice of. Now, James begins by referring to the particular way that some people were going about their planning at that time. Verse 13, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money." Obviously, these were business people. And anyone who is in business will tell you that planning is absolutely essential. They will tell you that to fail to plan is to plan to fail. But the people in James's day, they knew that already. So they had been thinking carefully about what they were going to do. They knew for sure that they were going off on a trip, leaving today or tomorrow. They knew exactly where they were going, to this or that city. They knew precisely how long they were going to stay there, for a whole year. They knew specifically what they were going to do there, to carry on business, it says. And they even knew what the end result was going to be, to make money. You know, it feels like these words could have been written today, couldn't they? Not 2,000 years ago. Isn't this exactly how people talk? They know what they're going to do. They know where they're going to go. They know what they're going to achieve. They've got it all worked out. But can't we do exactly the same? Don't you like telling people what your plans are? I'm getting a new job. I'm moving to a new place. I'm going on a trip. I'm starting something different. I'm going to be successful. I've made my plans, and this is what will happen. But friends, James warns the people who he wrote to that there was a big problem with the way that they were talking and thinking. And so we need to consider whether this also applies to us. So what exactly is the problem? Well, we need to be clear that the problem was not that these people made plans. That's not the issue. But the problem was the way they were planning. Because as they did so, there were a few vital things that they were forgetting. And first of all, what they forgot is what is most important in life. Their plans, you see, revolved all around one thing and one thing only: making profit. They spoke as though the whole purpose of life is making money. That was all they were interested in. Far too many today have the very same attitude. They devote their whole existence to earning and saving and spending and accumulating. They act as though that is what will give their life purpose. But what a tragedy. What a tragedy to put all your focus on material riches and to ignore spiritual and eternal matters. A second problem here is that these people forgot that their knowledge is limited. Verse 14, why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. They had the next year all mapped out, they thought, worked out exactly what they would accomplish and how. But what foolishness. They didn't know what was going to happen in a year's time. They didn't even know what was going to happen tomorrow. And neither do we. Even the most carefully laid plans can fall in a heap because we haven't a clue what the future holds. And so we'd be unwise to pretend that we do. A third thing these people forgot is that life is uncertain. They were talking as though they were permanent fixtures here on this earth. They didn't even give a thought to the possibility that in a year they might even be gone. And so James says, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We get a fair bit of mist around here, don't we? Mist shows up in the morning, sometimes hangs around for a few hours, and then before you know it, it disappears. That's what we're like, James says. We're born, we live just a few short years, and then we die. Here today, gone tomorrow. For life is short, and it would be ignorant to plan as though it's not. However, the final and in fact the most important problem here is that these people had also forgotten the Lord himself. They had worked out all their schemes, they had made their decisions, they had calculated their profits without even a thought for their God. Please don't forget, James isn't writing to atheists here. James is writing to Christians. He's writing to people who say they believe in God, who profess him as their creator and their maker, who trust in him as their savior, but yet they're living as though he isn't even there, as though he doesn't even exist. They live as though they are in control of the future instead of him. They live as though they can plan their lives and as though everything will happen just as they desire. But friends, this is the height of pride and conceit. and such pride and conceit is utterly wicked. Verse 16, it says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. To plan like this is not just unwise, but it is deeply sinful. For to make your plans like this is to put yourself in God's place and to reject Him as the Lord of your life. There's a name for this. People call it practical atheism. It's what happens when a person acknowledges God with their mouth, but they deny Him with their actions. They call themselves Christians, but yet they live as though God is not even there. Let's ask ourselves, are we ever tempted to be practical atheists? When we plan, do we sometimes forget what is most important? Do we sometimes focus on earthly things, on our own desires? When we plan, do we forget that our knowledge is limited, that tomorrow is out of our control? When we plan, do we forget that life is so uncertain and that any day we could be gone? When we plan, do we push God to the side as if He isn't even there? I think there's times in all of our lives when we do that, when we live as though God is not that important. Times when we come up with ideas and make decisions and arrangements, and we do so without even thinking about the Lord. But James warns us that that's not what we should be doing. It's presumptuous and unwise. It's boastful and sinful. James warns us this is definitely the wrong way to plan. But if that's so, then what's the right way to plan? What should we be doing instead? Should we just sit around and do nothing? Should we be careful to avoid making any arrangements or decisions for the future? Should we never make any plans for our lives, our careers, our retirement, our church? No, of course not. But what James says is that if we're Christians, if we're people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, well, then there is an essential factor that will be part of every single plan that we will ever make. For in verse 15 he says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, I've met some people, Christian people, who have a real issue with that verse. They say, if you want to succeed and get what you desire, then you need to be utterly confident. They say, if you want things to happen, then you should never doubt that they will. Name it and claim it, they say. Ask for anything at all and you will receive. Most tragically, I've seen this way of thinking applied to people who are terminally ill. So-called Christians come and tell the sick person that if only they had enough faith, then they'll definitely get well. And if they don't, well, it's their lack of faith that's the problem. They say God always wants to heal. They say that's always His plan. So to say, if it is the Lord's will, well, that's just a cop-out. Well, James tells us that that is no cop-out. To qualify your plans and desires like this is to acknowledge that ultimately we are not in charge, but God is. It's to plan with humility rather than with arrogance. It's to accept that His ways are higher than our ways and that His plan supersedes our own. But what will this really mean in our daily lives? How is this going to affect the way that you will plan for your future? How's it going to affect the way that we together plan for this church? Well, for a start, it's going to affect the way we speak. James tells us, in fact, he commands us to use these very words when we talk about the things we're going to do. When we talk about plans, we should in fact say, if it is the Lord's will, then we will do this or that. You know, I suppose you could do that too much. I suppose you could take it to the extreme and use these words whenever you talk about pretty much anything. Oh, well, I'm heading home from church now, if it's the Lord's will. I think I'll put the kettle on, if it's the Lord's will. I think it's time for bed, if it's the Lord's will. I don't think that's what James is getting at, is he? But yet the greater risk is that we don't do this enough. When I was growing up, people would regularly speak in this way. But these days, it's far less common. So let me urge you to start speaking this way again. Make it a normal part of the way you talk. If it's the Lord's will, then we're going to go on that trip that we've been preparing for. Lord willing, I will find a new job. Lord willing, I will get well from this sickness. Not only would this be a great reminder to ourselves and to others of who is really in control at the end of the day, but it would also be a great witness to those who do not know the Lord. However, another thing this verse should do is to also affect our attitude. It would be pointless to simply say these words if we do not actually mean them. That would be foolish. But if we do mean them, and we believe them, and we trust them, then that will bring about deep change. For a start, it will stop us from being arrogant and boasting as James has warned. We will always remember that it really is the Lord who controls the future and it's not us. It will also help us to be patient when things don't happen according to our agenda. If we know that the Lord is in control, then we also know that His timing will prevail. Our attitude will also be affected as we become more flexible. We may have plans, but God may have other ideas. And when we know that, well, then we're able to adapt. And these things should also make us more accepting when our plans fail. We'll be able to cope when it becomes obvious that our plan is not the Lord's will. Another way that this verse will impact us is that it will affect our decisions. You see, if we remember that our plans will only succeed if it is the Lord's will, well, then we're going to be striving, aren't we, to make our plans according to the Lord's will. And what I mean by that is that whenever we think about the future, we will be thinking very carefully about what the Lord would have us do. How would the Lord want me to be using my time? How would the Lord want me to be using my money? What sort of job would He want me to take? What sort of person would He want me to marry? What sort of calling has He put on my life? And the same goes for us as a church. What sort of plans would the Lord want us to be making? What are His priorities? What would He want us to be doing? What would He want us to hold as most important? It's for that reason that we should make every decision with our Bible in our hand. For it's in His Word that God reveals to us what is right and what is wrong, what is important, how we should live, how we should plan. And this is also the reason why we should make our decisions with much prayer. We need to ask the Lord to guide us and help us to see things clearly. We need to ask Him to reveal the right way for us to go. But I think one last way that this verse will affect us is in our confidence. James has told us that we should not be filled with a proud confidence in ourselves. But on the other hand, we can and we should be humbly confident in the Lord. When we make our plans, we can be certain that if it is not His will, He'll make it clear. But we can also be sure that if it is His will, He will make our plans succeed. He will open doors. He will change circumstances. He will do whatever He takes so that His will be done. You know, this all reminds me of Lord's Day 1 in the Heidelberg Catechism. There it asks us, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And just think about this answer. The answer says that I'm not my own, but I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And what's the result of that? Goes on to say, he also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. What is God's ultimate will for you and for me? Not our success, but our salvation. Not our physical health, but our spiritual healing. Not our earthly riches, but our treasures in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we've seen this afternoon that there's a wrong way to plan and there's a right way. The wrong way is to do it without God. So let's listen to what James is saying and make sure we do not fall into that trap. Don't forget what's really important in life. Don't forget that our knowledge is so limited. Don't forget that our lives are so uncertain. And most of all, don't forget the Lord. Rather, let us strive to make our arrangements and our decisions in humility, recognizing that it's our God and Savior alone who is in control. Let us recognize that it is He who has ordained what will happen, and that it is He who has determined what is right. So let's make plans, many plans, ambitious plans, great plans. But let's always make them with God and His gospel in the very center. Let's always make them confessing with our lips, but also believing in our hearts that He is the one who is in charge. And let's always make them saying, if it is the Lord's will, then we will live and do this or that. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight and we ask that you would help us not to be people who boast in our arrogant schemes. Father, help us not to be proud and conceited as we make plans for the future, whether that's in our own personal lives, in our work or our business, in our desires for this congregation. Lord, cause us to remember what really is important in life, to keep our priorities straight. Father, cause us to remember our own weakness and our own frailty, that we really have so little control over the things that lie ahead. And Lord, please so work in us that we would be able to submit all of our planning to your perfect will. Father, we know that even Jesus himself prayed, not my will, but yours be done, as he faced the horror of the cross on our behalf. May we too be people who surrender to your will in every part of life, even when it goes against everything in our human nature. Father, may we be people who seek to line up everything we do with your greater purposes. Lord, we pray, please hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to stand and sing together. Speak.